Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, August 22, 2017. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Also pleased to bring into the conversation today Patrick Ryan, who is owner and president at Ryan Brothers Ambulance in Madison, and also PAW president, and Dan Williams, who recently retired from Door County Emergency Medical Services, and looking at his next opportunities, but also the conference director for Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin. So, gentlemen, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Great to have you with us as always, and we look forward to getting into our podcast discussion today, which regards something called Pulse Point. Pulse Point is a smartphone app that you can use regarding local emergency events and some type of alerting mechanism. So we look forward to learning more from our guest today, Samantha Hilker. I wanted to, Dan, offer you some time with a Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin update. I know the agenda was recently published. It's now out on our PAW website, if our listeners would like to refer to that. But Dan, why don't you give us some highlights of what folks can expect?
Okay, well, thank you, Joe. Yeah, we're coming up in another, just about a month, I guess it'll be, for our 30th annual workshop, PSOW, which we're pretty excited about, that we were able to make it work for 30 years. And that's I think, been a pretty successful conference. Dates, again, are September 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's at the Tundra Lodge in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's a great facility. Fits our group size very well. And we've been there for several years, and we enjoy that venue. Just a couple of reminders, the block of rooms that have been reserved for our conference attendees closes September 5th. So make sure you get your reservations and things there completed before that date. Otherwise, the rate will apply, but the rooms are not guaranteed after that point. So just make sure that you get that all done. And like Joe said, the agenda is out on the PAW website. We had a glitch on our own website, and it'll be resolved, and our agenda will be on our website on Monday. And other than that, we're looking forward. We think we have a good agenda. We have a lot of various topics that I think are, again, important for the people who will be attending. And the one thing I've noticed and I've been really excited about, and I mentioned it at our last blog talk, was I'm starting to see services sign up and individuals sign up who have never been to the conference before, which is really a great thing, because we really believe that there's some value in what is discussed there for individuals to take back to their own services. So that's, to me, the exciting part is, we love to see the same people and renew our friendships every year, but it's great to add additional people to those friendships. So we just hope it continues to grow and get bigger every year.
Well, congratulations, Dan. I know this is your 30th anniversary, and very well received. A lot of good camaraderie there, a lot of good networking and interactions. And I know for a lot of people, the favorite thing is how you start out the conference with just going around the room and having people talk about what they've done the last 12 months, some of the highlights and things that they've dug into. And I know there's a lot of takeaway from that. So very good. I saw Dr. Rick Barney is also on the agenda. Wendy Ahrens, who's been a frequent contributor to our podcast. So you've got a good lineup.
Yeah, we think we do. There's always those are always good folks to have talk to our group. They're pretty straightforward, don't pull any punches, and that's what we want our people to hear, is because there's no sense sugarcoating things that are either good or bad. And I think you have to deliver that right out to people so that they hear it the right way. And, sometimes we talk about things that aren't always that pleasant, but they have to be talked about. And you're right. The way we start the conference is everybody talking about things that are going on in their service that used to start off as the first hour, then it went to the first 2 hours. Now we are about 3 hours into that. And we really encourage that, because people learn about what other folks are doing, and you know, you may think that, well, gee, I wanted to start this kind of a program or that program, but I heard so-and-so is doing it. I have to talk to them. So that's the part that really fosters the networking for the whole conference. And that's been a very successful way to begin the conference, and it kind of adds the tone for the entire 3 days that we're there.
Right. Terrific. Thanks very much, Dan. And if you, again, would like further information, the website is psow.org. You can also refer to the PAW website, paw.us. You can't beat the rates. It's $75 for Wednesday's event, $95 for Thursday, and $25 for Friday. That even includes the meal costs, all the breaks. There's an exhibitor area with break items and food items, too. So you can't go wrong with it. Very affordable. Dan works endlessly. He and Cal Lintz and others on his team put together a great event. So we encourage you to seriously consider that. Thanks for the update, Dan.
You're welcome.
I wanted to also mention back on August 8th with our podcast, we announced the 2017 Wisconsin Stars of Life honorees, their names and who they're affiliated with, what ambulance service, first responder, or fire department is posted at the PAW website at paw.us. We sure encourage you to refer to the list that makes up the group for 2017. They will be honored and recognized at a series of events in Green Bay affiliated with the PSOW conference during the dinner banquet on Thursday, September 21. One individual from the group will move forward and represent Wisconsin and Washington, D.C. at the National Stars of Life event in June 2018. So stay tuned for more information regarding that information as we look to celebrate colleagues in our industry here for their dedication and commitment to EMS and their professionalism as well. Today's discussion is with Samantha Hilker with Gold Cross Ambulance in Menasha, Wisconsin, the Fox Valley. They announced a few months ago deploying PulsePoint as a tool to engage trained citizen response to CPR events in their ambulance area. PulsePoint is a smartphone app, and Samantha is going to give us an update on how they've done so far with individuals signing up, what PulsePoint is all about, and how you as an ambulance service person can look to deploy these types of resources. Our podcast today is going to run about 30 minutes. It's sponsored by EMS World, Astia Health, and EMS Medical Billing. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. I did want to mention to you that coming up here very soon, talking about another conference, is the EMS World Expo in Las Vegas. You can join thousands of EMS professionals at the largest EMS conference and trade show in North America. It's October 16 to 20 in Las Vegas. PAW has partnered with EMS World Expo to provide our members and those in the EMS community here in Wisconsin with a $100 discount on a 3-day conference pass and free exhibit hall passes. If you'd like more information or just to register, use our promo code PAW, P-A-A-W, when registering. The website to register at is emsworld.com. Again, emsworld.com. Use the promo code PAW, P-A-A-W.us. Our podcast continues after these brief messages. Stay with us.
EMS Medical Billing Associates provides complete fire and EMS billing for service calls, alarms, and data management. EMS Medical Billing Associates, experienced, professional, accurate. Find them on the web at emsmedicalbilling.com.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad, or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Covelli, joined by Patrick Ryan and Dan Williams. Very pleased to bring into the podcast Samantha Hilker. Samantha, hello and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We look forward to learning more about PulsePoint. There's some exciting things here and some real opportunities for local EMS to get their community engaged.
Absolutely. It's a great, great tool.
Well, let's start out by just maybe giving a general overview so our listening audience can kind of get an initial idea of what PulsePoint is. Would you mind sharing a bit of what PulsePoint is and how it works?
Sure. PulsePoint is a smartphone app that if somebody should download PulsePoint, they have an option to say, yes, I know CPR, and I'm willing to respond if there is an emergency. And then it uses your GPS on your smartphone. So if you're out in a public location, let's say you're out at the Fox River Mall or downtown College Avenue, Appleton, and somebody has a cardiac arrest within 1/4 mile of your location, you will receive an alert on your smartphone saying that CPR is needed, where the CPR is needed, and also where the closest public access AED is. So you could potentially respond and administer CPR and or respond with the closest public access AED to administer AED and CPR before trained responders such as police, fire, or ambulance should arrive.
I know in part of the talking points that you provided to us, there are currently 2,400 communities around the country using PulsePoint over the last 7 years since it's been operating, which is terrific. And I know Gold Cross Ambulance in Menasha has recently started using PulsePoint as a community service. How many people have you had sign up so far?
So far, just in our area, which covers about 1,200 square miles, we have over 1,000 followers since our public launch in June.
That's terrific. Wow.
Yeah, it's growing quickly, and we're getting out there at every opportunity to tell more and more people about it. So hopefully we will have a few more join in the next few weeks.
Now, as far as PulsePoint goes, I mean, people are obviously alerted to something. They have to sign up for it. They have to put it on their smartphone, have it as an app, get alerts, and so on. What about potential concerns there might be that, and no pun intended here, but the average Joe just shows up and tries to initiate CPR or whatever it might be? I guess the question is, based on PulsePoint's experience, who's showing up to these types of calls for CPR events?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, that was one of my first thoughts when I heard about this program, is who's going to be showing up on our scenes and what are they going to be there for? And PulsePoint has not been made aware of any negative consequences or negative exposures or people showing up on calls just to kind of show up and have a look and see what's going on. And in any of the communities I've talked to where they're utilizing this app, they have not been able to tell me about one negative experience either. So the people that are showing up truly are there to help, and they have something to offer that person at that time.
Okay, terrific. Let's get into a little details as far as how it works. The website I know is pulsepoint.org, again, pulsepoint.org. And so folks would sign up, and then where do they go from there?
So when you download the smartphone app, it will open up, and the first question it asks you is if you know CPR or not. Of course, if you do, you'll want to hit that, and that's how you end up getting the CPR alerts if you're in the set proximity for that service area. The next thing you'll want to do is follow an agency. Now, if you're within our 1,200 square mile service area, you should automatically be directed to Gold Cross Ambulance. But if you're not in our area, or you know, you're traveling throughout Wisconsin or the United States, you can look up the agencies that you want to follow as well, kind of see who's out there, who's using it. There are several areas throughout Wisconsin and throughout the U.S. that are. And from there, you can set your alerts if you want to be alerted to every traffic accident, every structure fire. You can really set the alerts to get as alerted pretty often, to the point where you might want to turn your phone off because you're getting so many beeps and alerts, or as few as possible where you can set it to just have the CPR alerts if you're in that set proximity of 1/4 mile of a cardiac arrest in a public location. Or I actually, on my phone, I have the traffic alerts set up as well. So if I'm out running errands or driving around, I get alerted and I know which areas to avoid because there might be some additional traffic congestion due to an accident.
Okay, very interesting. And we'll point out, too, that this app is absolutely free. So you just need to sign up, stipulate you know CPR, download the app, and then sign up for the alerts. Now, as far as getting the alerts, what's the type of range? Because I know your ambulance district, I mean, Gold Cross Ambulance, that's huge over there by Appleton. That's 1,200 square miles that's covered. But is there a defined area that individuals would get an alert, since it doesn't make sense to get an alert and you're two counties away?
Correct. So you will only receive the CPR needed alert if you are in 1/4 mile of the person needing CPR in a public location. So if you're in Neenah and someone needs CPR in downtown College Avenue, Appleton, you're not going to get the alert from Neenah. You need to be within basically a walkable distance.
Okay, so if I signed up for Gold Cross Ambulance, I'm not going to get those alerts from quite a distance away, which is good. Although, Patrick, I know that let me bring in Dan and Patrick to this because I know Patrick's had some experience with it. So, Patrick and Dan, do you have some questions for Samantha or some comment about this?
This is Patrick. I just I'm starting to hear more traffic here in the Madison area. I know Meritor Hospital has kind of spearheaded the effort here to bring Pulse Point to the Madison area, and lots of people at our service do use it, able to keep track of kind of what's going on within the county. It's a pretty neat tool that I think is going to really allow for lots of people to be more involved in what goes on in their community than they've been able to in the past.
Yeah, it is a great way, not only for, you know, medics, firefighters, police officers to kind of stay involved and kind of get a bird's eye view of what's going on throughout the entire county or service area. It gives the public a little bit of a glimpse into what we're doing, too. So if they're seeing vehicles go every which direction, they can kind of take a peek at the app and see what's going on and all the call traffic. Now, all of that information in the app is coded, so there's no HIPAA information being given out. You'll actually get more information about the calls if you're listening to a scanner or a scanner app, because it's all kind of coded, especially within Pulse Point, as medical emergency, traffic accident, fire incident, that type of thing.
Very good. Thank you, Patrick. Dan, did you have any comment or questions?
Yeah, just a quick question for Sam. How many activations have you had since you started to use the program?
We've had about 5 CPR push alerts, or the CPR needed alerts that get sent out to people. Now, we have had a few more cardiac arrests in public locations than that, but remember, the alerts only go out if somebody that is marked as willing to respond and knowing CPR is within 1/4 mile of that person's location. Luckily, the alerts that have gone out haven't been a true need. A few of them were choking or suspected choking in restaurants. And so kudos to the staff at the restaurant or the public for calling 911 and the dispatchers for, you know, going through their EMD questions and getting the call out, because it definitely had the potential to go that direction. But luckily those incidents have been cleared up, and there was no need for CPR. And we did have a few people respond as a result of those CPR push notifications. Again, their intentions were phenomenal. They showed up ready and willing to help, which is exactly what we want. And we're glad they were able and willing to do that. We're also glad that CPR wasn't needed in those particular cases.
Great. Sounds good.
Yeah, that's very good. Wow, what a nice system to have as a support mechanism. Samantha, what else would you like to share regarding Pulse Point, based on maybe some things we didn't talk about yet? I know there's a lot with it.
Yeah, so one thing that I would like to share, I mentioned that when you get the push alert that CPR is needed, it also tells you where the closest public access AED is. So Pulse Point is kind of twofold. They have the Pulse Point Respond, which is the app we've been talking about, and they also have kind of a partner app called Pulse Point AED. And this is where anybody who has the app downloaded can go upload public access AEDs to the app, to the registry that we're keeping. So if you have the app downloaded and you're out walking at your favorite store, park, restaurant, and you see a public access AED, you can actually open the app, snap a picture of it. It marks the GPS coordinates. You can give it a name and then take a picture of it, and it uploads so that that AED may show up in the event there's a cardiac arrest nearby and someone would know that that's where they can go to grab an AED. And all of those submissions come to us at Gold Cross Ambulance, where we can go in and confirm that they are where they say they are, they're working. And then the nice thing about that as well is it also lets us know if one of those AEDs is in the alert area, so we can circle back to the owner or coordinator for that AED and make sure they know it had been used, the batteries are up to date, pads are being replaced, and that type of thing. this coming Wednesday, actually tomorrow, Gold Cross, ThetaCare, and Affinity or Ascension is working with the AHA, and the Timber Rattlers will be out at the Timber Rattlers game for CPR at the park night, where we will be teaching hands-only CPR, AED use, and helping people download Pulse Point all for free before the game gets started. And we'll also be celebrating a couple cardiac arrest survivors before the game starts as well on the field.
Wow, that's terrific. What a nice opportunity to tie in CPR education with a great event.
Yeah, it's a fun event. This will be our third year doing it, and it's always a great turnout. And I think there's still game tickets available. So if anybody is looking for something to do, that's a great event. The weather should be perfect.
All right, terrific. We're talking with Samantha Hilker with Gold Cross Ambulance in Menasha. Conversation regards Pulse Point, an interesting approach to getting community engagement during CPR events. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. We'll be back after this brief commercial message.
I'm Dr. Alex Summers, an EMS Medical Director and CEO of Astia Health, and I'm excited to introduce you to the next frontier of healthcare delivery solutions. At Astia Health, we are leading the way in utilizing cutting-edge technology to provide the missing link between community paramedicine providers and higher levels of care. Our innovative solution combines our proprietary software with our custom-built access to care telemedicine cases. These cases facilitate a comprehensive virtual examination, allowing a hospital-grade evaluation to be performed in the field. I look forward to helping you incorporate this solution into your business. Astia Health. Access to quality healthcare anytime, anywhere. Look us up on the web at astiahealth.com or call us toll-free at 888-885-4434.
You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. And now back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli with Dan Williams and Patrick Ryan. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you for tuning in. We're talking with Samantha Hilker with Gold Cross Ambulance in Menasha regarding Pulse Point. Samantha, where do you see things headed with Pulse Point in the program?
Well, we're definitely anticipating getting a wider range of following in terms of people who have downloaded the app and are willing to perform CPR where needed. We're out in the community. We've been out in the community for several years doing free hands-only CPR and AED teaching, and now we're partnering the Pulse Point information with that. So we're definitely getting the information out there. A lot of the people that download the app and follow it are actually off-duty EMTs, paramedics, police officers, firefighters, hospital employees, which is great. The general public is amazing as well. And in cooperation with the Pulse Point launch, we've also started a CPR volunteer registry where we are encouraging, you know, general public, off-duty healthcare personnel, cardiac arrest survivors and their families who want to give back to the community. We give them an opportunity to sign up with our registry, and we include them in our public outreach events where we're out there teaching hands-only CPR and AED to just kind of help take the fear out of it and really show people that it's not a big, scary thing anymore, and anybody really can get involved, you know, from kids all the way up to adults. And definitely just continuing to strengthen the community bond between public service and community and getting more people involved.
Well, congratulations on the work you're pursuing there. I know Gold Cross has been very, very active over the last many years regarding CPR and community initiatives. So that's great, great to see. Patrick or Dan, anything else for Samantha?
This is Dan. I'm just wondering, I see there's probably less than half a dozen services in Wisconsin that are utilizing this. Sam, can you explain a little bit about what it needs to be done on the provider end to make this all work?
In terms of implementation and adopting it in more communities?
Yes.
So there is a cost to it, and really it needs to come from a dispatch center. So Gold Cross, we were very lucky. We were able to enlist the help and cooperation of some funding partners and implement this in our Gold Cross dispatch center. So from a service perspective, you would need to reach out to PulsePoint, understand the cost, because it does vary based on service area and population density, and work with your dispatch center, whether it's an in-house dispatch center or a county dispatch center, to find out the willingness and needs of implementation in terms of technology needs, server, what kind of programs they're currently using to dispatch, and how the calls are coded, and then just work through that with PulsePoint.
Okay,
it actually is a fairly pain-free process once you have your funding and you have everyone on board. PulsePoint does do a really good job of making implementation easy.
Good.
And the website is pulsepoint.org. Very good question. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. Patrick, did you have anything?
No, nothing additional to me. I would just commend Gold Cross for their leadership and work with this, and hopefully continuing to spread it across the state.
Thank you.
All right, excellent. Well, Samantha, thank you very much for sharing the information today. And if you wanted to offer your contact information, if anybody has a question directly for you based on your firsthand experience with PulsePoint, how would you suggest they get in touch with you?
Yeah, my phone number is 920-202-2955. And my email is Samantha, SAMANTHA, at Hilker, PSM, HILKER, P as in Peter, S as in Sam, M as in Mary, .com. And if you
want
to add that to your website too, that would be great.
Okay, we will do that. Well, Samantha, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate the information today and sharing that with our listening audience.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you're very welcome. Dan and Patrick, thank you very much for your excellent questions and perspective too on PulsePoint, and it's great to have you with us today as well to contribute to the conversation. Before we wrap before we wrap up today, is there anything else that you wanted to offer or any other highlights?
Nothing additional from me, Joe. Thank you.
I'm good too.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. We're going to wrap things up then. I wanted to remind you, too, that our next EMS Live in Wisconsin program is Tuesday, September 12, starting at 9 a.m. We'll announce our guest and topic on the PAW website homepage at paaw.us. EMS Live is streamed live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesday every month. Today's program was recorded and is available for on-demand playback directly from the PAW homepage at paaw.us. It was a pleasure to have you with us today, and thank you for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday, September 12, starting at 9 o'clock. This has been EMS Live in Wisconsin.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.